Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Open up your device, unlock your device. We're going to be reading from John chapter 14. And this is a great passage of Scripture as it relates to us understanding who the Holy Spirit is. Before we read that, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And the Shema found in the Old Testament was this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so in the culture that the Bible was written in, Old Testament and New Testament, there was many religions that made everything God. Pantheism, like we've mentioned in the past, and there was multiple gods, and you could choose which one. And here comes the scripture that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. But then we have to go farther than that to understand that the one God that we worship is revealed to us in three persons. And some people that don't understand the Trinity don't think that we're monotheistic in nature, worshiping one God. But God has revealed himself to us in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And probably the most well-known place that we see this in Scripture, because nowhere in Scripture is the word Trinity, but the place that we see this probably most clearly and we're most familiar with is the Great Commission, when Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and this is what we're familiar with, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we see throughout Scripture that God is revealed to us in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And so this morning we're looking at God the Spirit after we have already... John chapter 14, we're going to read starting at verse 15. So please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. This is Jesus as he's talking to his disciples, as he's leading his disciples. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be in your house today. And Father, we want to honor you as we look into your word and as we talk about the Holy Spirit. Father, we know that the Holy Spirit is here with us now, that he indwells us, and that it's his power that we have for life. So, Father, would you help us to understand the work of your Spirit in our lives as we meet together. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's happening here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus is preparing his disciples for what was in the future for them, that they were going to see him betrayed, they were going to see him tortured and put on a cross, they were going to see him laid in the grave, and they were going to see him risen from the dead. And so he's preparing them for that moment, and so he's with his disciples, and he begins to talk to them about the Holy Spirit that would be coming. And so what's really striking about this passage of Scripture, and the reason that I chose this passage of Scripture this morning, was that it is the second member of the Trinity, God the Son, describing the coming of the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and what that Holy Spirit would do in the life of the believers. And so if you have your message notes there, I hope that you'll follow along with us. The first thing there on your message notes is that the Holy Spirit abides with us. The Holy Spirit abides with us. And this is really a special thing for us to understand, because the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is not leaving us as orphans, this passage says, but he's sending an advocate to us. He's sending a helper to us. And so if you look back at this passage in John chapter 14, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." And then later in this passage, just like I mentioned, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And so Jesus knows that things are changing and that he is going to not be with the disciples the way that he has been for the 3 years of his preaching ministry. But it's going to change and he's going to go away, but the Holy Spirit is going to come, and that's the way that Jesus is not leaving them as orphans. Now, an orphan is a child that has needs like all children do, but has no one to take care of them. Their parents are not there, or their family members are not there, and they're orphans. They have needs, but they cannot have them taken care of. That's one of the reasons that sometimes mission trips involve ministries at orphanages, where we help other people have these orphanages where the children can be taken care of. Because it's tremendously a sad moment when there is a child that can't have their needs taken care of. And so Jesus uses this as an example to us that he is not leaving and going back to heaven and leaving us as orphans, those who have needs that have no way for those needs to be taken care of, but he's sending someone to be our advocate. And that word advocate is interesting, someone that speaks on our behalf, somebody that has our best interest in mind. That's the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And it also says a helper, that he's sending us a helper that will be with us. And listen, we need help. Even the best one of us in the room, we need the help of the Holy Spirit alive and active in our lives. And so Jesus is saying, he's saying, things are fixing to change. I'm going to go away, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, is going to come, and he is going to be your helper. But there's also something that I want you to see in this passage too. Down in the end of verse 17, it says, "But you will know him, for he lives within you and will be." He will live, let me try that again. I need to be able to read here. "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And that speaks of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, that he's with us. But not only is he with us, he is in us as a believer in Christ. And this talks about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And this is really something that's really key for us to understand, is that as Jesus is transitioning back to heaven, and then on the day of Pentecost, he sends the Holy Spirit to us, and we see that in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, that we have the Holy Spirit of God with us, not only with us, but inside of us. Listen, that changes the way we think about the presence of God in our life. Because if we understand that the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but inside of us, then we'll know that we are never left alone as an orphan is left alone. That he is always with us, and we're never alone. That he walks with us. He is with us in the good times and the bad times. Listen, that changes things in a person's life when they understand the Holy Spirit's work is to be with us, but also in us. There's this passage of scripture that says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make a bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. That's Psalm 139. And so we have the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is a gift from God of his presence, of himself in our life all the time. Listen, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not something that just comes into our lives when we need him or when God wants us to do something, but that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life all the time. And listen, that happens at the moment of our salvation. There's no second blessing. There's no second baptism of the Holy Spirit or any of that. The Holy Spirit comes into our life when we understand who Jesus is and we say yes to Jesus and we are saved. And we get the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the gift of God. He's leading us from the inside. Listen, that changes things for a person when you understand that. That God's not distant. That he loved us so much that he put his Spirit in our lives. And that Spirit guides us and teaches us. And we're going to see some of the other things the Spirit does in our life. But the first thing I want you to know from this passage in John chapter 14, as Jesus is describing the coming and the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is that he abides with us. And aren't we thankful for that? He hasn't left us alone. I don't know about you, but there's been some places where I felt kind of alone. And I felt kind of like, man, this is a tough situation. And I feel like there's nobody that understands what's going on, or there's no support that I thought would be there. There's been some spots like that in my life, and I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is always with me and will guide me through those moments, and he'll guide you as well. The next thing I want you to see from this passage in John chapter 14 is that the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us about the truths of God revealed through the Son. This is a really interesting understanding of the Holy Spirit and his work as he relates to God the Father and also God the Son. Listen to verse 22. And it's kind of interesting here too that Judas asks a question, but the writer here, John, wants you to know that it's not Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus, it was the other Judas. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And then Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And then verse 25 says, "All this I have spoken while with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit," and again, this is Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit that's going to come, "whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." And so notice the role of the Holy Spirit in our life as Jesus is describing to the disciples what the Holy Spirit will do. He is going to be a teacher in our life. He's going to teach us all things. And he's also going to remind us about the truths of God as revealed through God the Son. And those are two things that we need desperately in our life. We always need to be growing in our understanding of the Scripture. We always need to be growing in our closeness with God and knowing more and more about him. Because the more that we know about him and his character and who he is, the more that we can submit our lives to him. And so we need to be learning. And listen, having a teachable spirit is something that's really important. If you feel like you've gotten to a place in your spiritual life where you're pretty much done, you know enough kind of thing, you're too cool for school or anything like that, then you're kind of in a dangerous place. Because you need to have that open spirit of saying, God, I want to know you better. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me more about you. But he not only teaches us, he reminds us about the things that we've forgotten. Listen, we're a forgetful people. And sometimes we'll forget the richness of our relationship with Jesus, or we'll forget the thing that we learned in vacation Bible school, or now, and we'll forget those things. And so the Holy Spirit does both of those things for us. He teaches us about God, and he also reminds us about the things that are revealed to us about God through the person of Jesus Christ. But notice here that he's shining the light of attention on the Son. You see, in the Trinity, there's no rivalry. There's no one over the other. There's no jockeying for position. He is shining the light on the Son. And so my story is when, before I was a believer, my mom gave me a Bible. And it was a King James Bible. And it was just your traditional, typical King James Bible, black cover, gold letters. I mean, it was nice. And I kept it in a special place in my room. Didn't actually read it very much, but I kept it in a special place in my room. And when I started getting interested in spiritual things, and maybe that there was something missing in my life, and really what was happening was the Holy Spirit was drawing me to God, knowing that, you know, realizing that there was something missing, I would open up the King James Scripture, and I couldn't make any sense of it at all. I mean, I just couldn't make any sense of it. At that point in my life, I wasn't an avid reader, although I, of course, could read. I just didn't understand it, but I was still interested in spiritual things. And so I started attending First Baptist Orlando, Florida. And it was there under the faithful preaching of God's word that I figured out that the thing that was missing in my life that I had kind of identified as a younger boy was a relationship with Jesus. And so I went forward after about a month of figuring out if that was what I needed, because I'm not a person to make a commitment without really, really making it wisely and fully committing to it. I just go forward and I'm wonderfully saved. And that was a moment that completely changed my life. But other than beyond part of that life change is that I could open up the scripture and I could understand it. I mean, it was really striking. I did get a more modern translation. That was the first time that I got an NIV Bible, because that was what Jim Henry, the pastor, spoke from. But I could read the word and I could understand it now. But I could not only understand it, I could understand what it meant for my life. So when I got to John 3:16 about God so loving the world that he sent his son Jesus, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, I could say, that's me. I understand that Jesus did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. You see, what happened in my life when I received Christ, the Holy Spirit came into my life and began teaching me and reminding me about the things that I knew so that I could understand the things of the faith. And that's so important to understand, that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us and remind us. And listen, if you think about your life, and there was a time like me that you had an interest in spiritual things but couldn't make any sense of it, but after receiving Christ, everything started to make sense. That's exactly the Holy Spirit's work in our life, that he teaches and reminds us. Albert Mohler, he's a person that I kind of follow and listen to his podcast pretty much on a daily basis, called The Briefing. He's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote a book on the Apostles' Creed that I've been using as a resource for these messages. And he said this, and I wanted to mention this quote from him. He said, "The teaching of the Spirit must bring great comfort to us and radically transform the way we approach the scriptures." And so what he's saying is, because of the Holy Spirit's teaching work in our life, it changes how we approach this book. Because we may not understand everything, but we have the Spirit on the inside of us that's going to quicken our mind, it's going to help us understand the things of the faith that we see there. And even beyond understanding it, applying it to our life. The Spirit is about getting the words off of these pages into our minds and into our hearts and out of our lives. And that is a great work of the Holy Spirit. And it changes how we approach the Scripture. And we're going to talk about the Scripture more here in a second. But not only does the Spirit teach and remind us about the truths of God as revealed by the Son, the Holy Spirit testifies about the Son. And this is found in chapter 15 in a couple verses. So if you look down to John 15, verses 26 and 27, and Jesus is continuing to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, and again uses this word advocate when he says, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." And of course, he's talking to his disciples. And so the Holy Spirit testifies about the Son. The Holy Spirit is shining the spotlight on the Son based on the love of the Father. And you see this great unity within the Trinity. There's not this jockeying for position. There's not one more important than the other. But we see the love of the Father. We see the sacrifice of the Son. And we see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. All of these, Holy Spirit, three in one. Blessed Holy Spirit, three in one. And we see them all together working in harmony, working in perfect unity together. And he testifies about the Son. And so the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he shines the light on the Son and he testifies to us about the Son. Now that's what he did in my life when I was looking at becoming a believer, when I was wrestling with the things of the faith. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me about the things about the Son. To testify means to give an accurate account of something that you know. Like in a court of law, someone testifies to what they know to be true. And so the Holy Spirit is testifying about the Son in our life. It's actually interesting how the Holy Spirit works in our life to bring us to the point of salvation, for us to understand enough about the Son that we can place our faith in the Son. The Holy Spirit is critical in our salvation. So again, the Holy Spirit is testifying to us about the Son. There's this perfect unity. But also notice in these two verses that I just read, in verse 27, it says, "And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." And we know that the disciples were faithful to that. We have the words, we have their words as inspired by the Holy Spirit that they wrote down as an account of the Scripture. I mean, we have the Scripture in our hand, but that is a charge for us as well. We have to testify what we know to be true about Jesus with those around us that may not know. We had our new members class going on today, and one of the things that we talk about is having your personal testimony and having it in a way that you can share your testimony with other people. And a testimony is very simple to share: what your life was like before Christ, how you met Jesus as your Savior, and what your life is like now after receiving Christ. It's very simple. You can do that in an elevator. You can do that in a coffee shop. You can do that everywhere that you can just testify about Jesus, sharing your own testimony. And so the Spirit testifies about the Son, and we must testify about the Son as well. And next week, next Sunday afternoon at 4:00, we're going to go out into this community to let this community know that we are praying for them, and we're going to look for opportunities to maybe speak a good word for Christ and God to use us to minister to our community. It's not about us just staying inside here where it's nice and comfortable and we're all together, but it's about going out there and ministering in his name. We have to be faithful to testify just like the disciples did, just like Jesus said the disciples had to be faithful to testify, so we too need to be faithful to testify about our Savior. Now the next thing from this passage, it's in John chapter 16, verses 7 and following. This passage talks about how the Holy Spirit convicts and corrects. The Holy Spirit convicts and corrects. Listen to this. It says in John chapter 16, verse 7, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away," and listen to this word again, "the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." It goes on to say, "I have much more to say about this to you, that you can, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." What I want you to understand from this passage is the Holy Spirit convicts us and corrects us. And listen, we desperately need that. Because if we go out on our own, we're going to make a mess of things just about all the time. We need the indwelling presence of the Spirit in our life that convicts us and corrects us. And this is a huge task that only the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Listen, if someone doesn't understand their need to be saved and their sin debt that they have in their life, they can't be saved. Because they don't need to be saved because they don't understand their sin debt that they have. And so the Holy Spirit works in the life of an unbeliever to bring that person to a place where they understand their need for Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's work drawing them to God, wooing them. You know, and as I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I was reminded about 2 Timothy 3:16, where it talks about the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit's work in our life can be keyed, can be tied to the work of the Scripture in our life. Because, and follow this, if the Holy Spirit inspired people, the authors of the Scripture, then in the Scripture you have the role of the Holy Spirit built in. He's inspiring people to write down the Scripture. Remember that 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed," that Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God helped these people write down the words of God. "And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to use the Word of God in your life to help convict you when you're going astray, to correct you, to rebuke, and to train in righteousness. The Holy Spirit wants to use the Word in your life that way. And listen, we need that. The Word is what the Spirit has given us. And so he uses that to convict us. On your message notes, are y'all doing okay? Are y'all hanging in there? All right. Sometimes it's hard to tell, and I'm going through a little phase here. I'm not sure exactly if y'all are tracking along or not. But on the back of your message notes, I have the passage from the Baptist Faith and Message that talks about the Holy Spirit that I'd like to read. And the reason that I do this is the things that we've talked about from John 14, 15, and 16 just scratch the surface about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to read the Baptist Faith and Message and what it says about God the Holy Spirit. And underneath this statement is all the Scriptures that back it up. And so we can be proud as Southern Baptists that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that we believe. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures. Through illumination, he enables men to understand truth. He exalts Christ. He convicts men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He calls men to the Savior and effects regeneration. At the moment of regeneration, he baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. He cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, and bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through his church. He seals the believer unto the day of final redemption. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee that God will bring the believer into the fullness of the stature of Christ. He enlightens and empowers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. Listen, let me tell you, that is a strong statement about the Holy Spirit and the work. If you go back later and look at the verbs, look at the action words, the work of the Holy Spirit is huge in our lives and in the life of the church. And that's what we believe as Southern Baptists. Listen, this series about what we believe, this isn't for me to tell you what you believe. That's not what I'm doing in these things. What we're doing in this series is we are looking into God's word about what the word says about these key things about what we should believe and what we believe as Southern Baptists, as people of the word. And so the challenge is, and you've heard this every week, is the challenge is to understand the concepts that we're talking about, to believe in those concepts, and to where those concepts and beliefs come out into the actions of our life. It starts with understanding the right thing, believing the right thing, and then doing the right thing. It's actually a full process. And so what we're going to do right now, number 5 on your message notes, is we're going to look briefly at life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. And life in the Spirit starts with obedience. You've heard that a number of times, especially in John chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And different times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned, obedience and doing what we know to be right is mentioned. Obedience is the beginning part of life in the Spirit, that we really turn loose the Holy Spirit's work in our life as we're obedient to do the thing we know to do. You see, we'll grieve the Holy Spirit if we don't do that. If we know the right thing to do and we do the opposite, or we premeditate something that we do wrong, that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit, and that's going to hinder the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And it's not that we have less of the Holy Spirit in our life. Listen to this. It's not that we have less of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's that we've turned over less of our life to him when we're disobedient. And so when we're obedient to him, we release the Holy Spirit's work in our life so that he can do the full work that he wants to do. And so if there's anything holding the Holy Spirit back in your life, it's whether you're being obedient to him or not. If you're being obedient to doing the thing that you should do. So we're going to mention some things about life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. He is the life giver. There is there's an illustration of evangelism, that evangelism is like a person being on a boat and seeing someone that's down in the surf or down in the water that's drowning, and to share the gospel is like throwing one of those round, what are those called? Life preservers. You're throwing one of those round things, those donut things, right into the surf, and they grab onto it and they're saved. Listen, that makes sense, because that compels us. We want to be the faithful person on the boat, and when we have an opportunity, we want to share our gospel and we want to share our testimony and help people out. But that illustration is really kind of faulty, because when someone does not have a relationship with Christ, the scripture talks about them being dead in their sins and trespasses. And so the person that we seek to share the gospel with, they're a person that is spiritually dead because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have a relationship with Christ. But what the Holy Spirit does is he breathes life and he woos that person to himself so that they can place their faith in him. It's like he breathes a little life in them so that they can have enough to say yes to Jesus. and they can have life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. And Elmer Towns, a kind of a churchman of old and kind of prolific author, he says that you can remember the work of the Holy Spirit in your life with this acrostic RIBS, R-I-B-S, regeneration, indwelling, baptism, and sealing. Listen, that sealing part is important because it's the Holy Spirit that seals us. And once we're saved, we're always going to be saved because we're saved and the Holy Spirit seals us until that day. And so the Holy Spirit is a life giver. The Holy Spirit is also a gift giver. A number of different places in the New Testament, there's a list of spiritual gifts that are listed. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one of those places. Now, a spiritual gift is not a natural ability. It's a gift that's given by God into the life of a believer to be used within the body of Christ. And so he gives us these gifts. And within these gifts, we minister in his name. And so one of the things we do in our new members class, and this is fresh on my mind because we had one this morning, is we give out a spiritual gift inventory. And so someone can use a spiritual gift inventory to see how God has gifted them and shaped them for ministry. He's the gift giver. And the Holy Spirit is also the fruit producer. And I thought about Brother Kim Jones on that as he is producing the Satsuma, this fruit. And when you go by his place out there on Boston Highway, those trees are looking awesome, covered with all kinds of fruit. But the fruit in our life is produced by the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And so if you have your Bible, open it up to, if you still have it open, open it to Galatians chapter 5. And this is a passage of scripture that talks about life in the Spirit, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's, and this is awesome in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another." And so God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the gifts that we need to do what he wants us to do within the body of Christ. And he also produces the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That fruit of the Spirit is not something we do ourselves. It's the product. He's the producer of those in our life. And so we can look at this list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and we can see how we're doing. How are we doing in these areas? Is the Spirit working in our life to produce things? And if he's not, we need to turn over more and more of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And so let's go back to kind of our ending every week, is to, we need to first understand who the Holy Spirit is. It's not something for super Christians. It's not the force of Star Wars. He is the third person of the Trinity, fully God. And he is at work in our life. And we need to understand what he does in our life. He abides in our life. He teaches us. He reminds us. He gives us life. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He's alive and active in our lives. And we don't need to be scared of his activity in our life, but we need to embrace his activity in our life. And so we need to be rightly related to him and understand what he expects, and he expects our obedience so that he can have total reign in our life and work his full plan out in our life. And so listen, understanding that, we start with an understanding of that in our minds. Yes, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we see that in Scripture. We as Southern Baptists believe this awesome statement that I read. But then to let that sink down into our hearts, that we really believe that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, not just understanding it, but believing it. Listen, we entitled this series, "We Believe," not that we understand, because it's a different thing to understand something than it is to believe it. And once we understand the right thing and we believe the right thing, then our actions, how we live our life, will be right and will be honoring the Spirit. I love the song that Myron led us to sing today. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. Come fill this place. And it says, change the atmosphere. Listen, that should be a prayer in our life, that we say, Holy Spirit, today is your day. I'm going to be obedient. Help me to follow you with my whole heart. The Spirit is critical for us to understand, for us to believe, and for us to surrender to. So we're going to have a moment of invitation, and this is a time where we can do business with God. And I mentioned this idea of obedience. Maybe there's something in your life that you're not being obedient to God about. Maybe there's some bitterness. Maybe there's some sin that has crept in there. Maybe this would be a time that you would just hand that over to God, that you would just confess that. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working up and down each aisle in this room to say, you need to give this to me. This is not right in your life. This is a great time to do business with God based on how he has spoken us through the music and through the word. Maybe as I've shared some of my testimony and how the Holy Spirit gives life, you've realized that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That there's never been a time where you made that understanding that you were a sinner apart from Christ, separated from Christ, separated from God, and that Jesus died on the cross for you. Maybe you can come and you can be miraculously saved. Listen, you'll never regret that. And that is the thing that will determine your whole eternity. So I'm not sure how the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now, but let me, as your pastor, say, let him do whatever he's doing. Say yes. Lean in instead of holding back. Say no to pride and say no to putting walls up and just say, I'm here and I'm yours. That's the proper response. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking for. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for these moments that we've had to sing your praises, to be in your word. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this place. And would you work and would you change hearts and minds and lives as we've encountered you today. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.